Judy Starr has learned from experience how important it is to remain faithful in marriage. She says it requires a whatever it takes sort of attitude.
Whatever it takes might mean changing jobs, but my marriage must be the priority over my work, over anything that would hinder that marriage.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss. It's Friday, February 3rd. Rebuilding a marriage after infidelity really is possible. But as we'll hear today, it takes a lot of work and a strong commitment. And there are some definite safeguards that need to be put in place. Here's Nancy.
Some time ago, I was on the phone talking with a woman who had broken her marriage vows. She had flirted with disaster and ultimately fallen into disaster by developing an emotionally intimate relationship with a man in the workplace. And her life at this point was, well, it was a mess. She was sobbing on the phone. She was heartbroken and guilty over what she had done. But she was asking some tough questions, just pouring out her heart and saying, in essence, can I ever be right again? Can I ever be pure again? Maybe I'm just destined to be an immoral woman. And can my marriage really be rebuilt? Can it survive something of this nature? We're talking about those kinds of questions today with my two friends, Holly Eliff and Judy Starr. Judy and Holly, I know this is a tough subject, but thank you for having the courage and the willingness to deal with it. We have a lot of listeners today who are in varying stages of asking those same kinds of questions, and I believe God wants to use this program to help minister grace to some of those very women. So thank you, Holly, for being here with us on Revive Our Hearts.
Thanks, Nancy.
And Judy Starr, not only for being here, but for having written a book called The Enticement of the Forbidden, where you go into a lot more detail than we can on this program, illustrating out of your own life how an emotional affair that you entered into 5 years into marriage, how God graciously intervened in your life and brought you back to himself and back to your husband and averted what could have been an even much worse disaster. So thank you for writing that book and for being willing to share with us here on Revive Our Hearts.
Well, you're welcome. I'm an example of God's grace.
So I want us to dive in here. We've talked about how you almost threw away your marriage, Judy, and it could happen to anyone. You happen to be in full-time vocational ministry. We've heard of this happening with pastors' marriages, with Christian workers' marriages, with lay people's marriages. There's no marriage that is immune to temptation because we have an enemy who hates God, he hates marriage, and he's out to destroy your marriage. So we have to be proactive in putting some things in place that can make a marriage strong enough to survive that kind of attack. Now, I think some who've been listening perhaps have already gone down this road. They've blown it morally. They've become involved in physical adultery or an emotional affair, or maybe they have an addiction to pornography. Yes, women do as well today. Is it possible, really possible, to rebuild a marriage once infidelity has entered in? And let me just put with that a twin question, because this is what we want to discuss on today's program. Once you've blown it, can a marriage be restored? And if you haven't blown it, you've not gone there yet, what safeguards and protections can you put in place in your marriage to make sure you don't go there? So the answers are kind of the same to both of those questions. But Judy, as you look back on where you were and the time that you came back to your husband, you confessed your sin to him, you determined that honesty was the best policy. Your husband was gracious, he was hurt, but he forgave you, and you began a process of rebuilding. The emotions that you had felt toward that captain on the boat in the Caribbean, those emotions didn't go away right away, did they?
Oh, no, not at all. In fact, as it took time to develop those emotions, it also takes time to heal from those. And so one of the first things I needed to do, which I did right away, was cut off all contact with him.
And you mean all contact?
I mean all contact. Emails, phone calls, letters, anything. Anything that would rekindle that in any way that puts us back in contact.
And that is a huge point. I don't want to pass over that because I've talked with people and heard stories of people saying, we can just stay friends. The answer is no, you can't.
And you know, if that guy's in the Caribbean, that's one thing. But if he's a work associate, cutting that off completely may require really drastic steps.
That's right. And we need to be willing to do whatever it takes to maintain our purity before the Lord and to keep our marriage the priority. And whatever it takes might mean changing jobs. But my marriage must be the priority over my work, over anything that would hinder that marriage.
Yes.
So I need to trust that God will honor my decision if I'm in a position where it looks like I will never be able to deal with that relationship rightly, where I will get out of that situation and trust God to either provide another job or keep me at home and provide financially another way.
Now, there are other safeguards that need to be put in place, whether your marriage trust has been violated or not. What are some of those safeguards that a woman can put into place to protect her marriage and her relationship with the Lord?
There's one of the things that I call building the invisible wall. So that means I don't share personal things with him. I don't ever get in a situation where I'm alone with another man. Some people in the work situation might say, well, that's impossible because I have to work individually with this man. We can be very creative in finding ways to sin, but we can also be very creative if we're really committed to being holy before the Lord, of finding alternative ways of dealing with those situations. You can always call a coworker in. The very thing I didn't do with the captain, I could have always had somebody there when we were working and talking.
And we as women really have a way of either putting that invisible wall up or letting it down. There's so many ways we can signal availability without even saying a word.
Oh, it's the truth. By our lingering looks, a wink, just the way that we maintain eye contact, all things signal to a man, and they can pick up on them very quickly, not to mention the way we dress that can allure some man in. And it's amazing to me how many Christian women seem so totally unaware of the way that they dress being a way that attracts men.
You touch on this in your book, Judy, where you talk about the fact that if we're going to claim the name of Christ, there needs to be a distinctiveness about our life as Christian women that does make us different from the average woman in our home or in the marketplace.
Okay, what about the whole area of the internet? This is something that I see just luring women in. They're craving relationship, craving meaningful conversation. Do you see this happening with women in terms of the chat rooms or the use of email?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I have two personal friends that met men just by going on a chat room, harmlessly thinking, oh, I just need someone to talk to, and again, began pouring out their hearts, pouring out personal information, receiving positive feedback, a man who cares about all their intimate struggles.
Mm-hmm.
They both ended up leaving their husbands, and then the relationship didn't work out, but at that point, it was too late and the marriage was gone.
And the truth is, most of the time, it won't work
out. That's exactly right.
What you're seeing in that chat room is not like living with that person.
Oh, it is a fantasy situation from the start, because you only write your very best. You put on your best face, your superwoman persona that comes across the internet, and that's not who we are.
I think one thing that makes that so dangerous, again, is that we can do that in the privacy of our homes.
Yes.
I can get on my computer at 1 a.m. No one knows I'm on my computer or who I'm talking to. So it gives us an avenue that is very low accountability. It's not like we're stopping at an adult bookstore and going in to purchase a book where someone might see us.
Yeah.
But we are in the privacy of our own home. And unless someone pulls up a history on our computer, they don't know where we're going.
And the other thing that is equally as dangerous as chat rooms is the simple thing of email.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you said, Nancy, you work with men in the Christian work that
yes.
you do. I do too. And it's very easy to develop a relationship even just on emails, where you again become more personal, more friendly with men that you're working with all
but
the
you know,
time.
I found it can be avoided.
Absolutely.
If you put the hedge in place, the boundary in place, I have a policy. The men I work with know this. No personal exchanges on email. And I do an average of probably 60 to 100 emails a day. So they're flying. There's a lot of email communication going on. And if there's something we're going to be discussing that's at all of a personal nature, and I don't mean, you know, just sexual issues, I mean just family things, it's very simple. Make sure the wife is being copied.
Absolutely.
So she's reading the emails.
Right.
Make sure if I know that wife is going to be reading what I'm writing and I've established that as a boundary, It takes care of saying things that shouldn't be said.
That's exactly right. I copy Stotler on any email that I send to another man. And I also have found that if I sense in my spirit I'm writing something and I think, oh, I don't really want Stotler to see this, I go back and erase it because it should never be sent.
And Judy has done such a good job. She has called me before and said, I have to be in this business relationship with this man, but I am not comfortable with this level of
interaction
yeah. with him. And I just want you to know that. I want to be honest with Stotler. I want to be honest with you. I want you to pray for me in this area that God will make me wise. And so I think because of knowing her vulnerability in the past, she is now a wise woman in this area, as opposed to the Proverbs 7 woman who yeah. is foolish. She is wise in this area. And so she has antenna up mm-hmm. to alert her early to any potential dangers.
And the neat thing is that Judy didn't used to have those antenna up. That's how
oh,
she
no.
got in
That's
this
right.
situation in the first place. But the neat part of the story here is that you can develop the right patterns in your life, whether you've blown it in the past or even better yet, without having to go through what Judy went through. So Paul says in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, let there be not even a hint of immorality among you. Well, how do you avoid the hint? You put up the safeguards. You put the boundaries in place. I don't know what your boundaries need to be, and you don't need to determine yours based on mine. You need to get before the Lord and say, I want to walk with you that is above reproach, that is pure. I want to love my husband the way you want me to. I want our marriage to be protected. Lord, what do you want me to do? What do I need to put in place in the workplace, in my email habits, in my computer habits? Does it mean we need to get rid of the television in our home? If that's what it takes for you, then do it. Does it mean we need to get rid of the internet in our home? If that's what it takes for you, then do it. But I want to tell you, it is worth any price, any step of action to obtain before the Lord and to maintain a heart that is pure and above reproach.
That's practical counsel from Nancy Lee DeMoss, along with Judy Starr and Holly Eliff. Judy has more of that kind of advice in her book, The Enticement of the Forbidden. In fact, chapter 19 lists 8 practical ways you can build walls to protect your marriage. We have that book here at Revive Our Hearts, as well as an 8-week personal study guide to use by yourself, with an accountability partner, or in a small group. Visit reviveourhearts.com to order your copy. And don't forget that Revive Our Hearts is a listener-supported program. That means we depend on prayers and donations from our listeners. If you'd like to give or become a prayer partner, go to reviveourhearts.com or call 1-800-569-5959. In fact, during February, if you make a donation of $25 or more and ask for it, we'll send you Nancy's book, Lies Women Believe, along with its companion study guide and a bookmark. Once again, our web address is reviveourhearts.com, and our phone number is 1-800-569-5959. We'll have more practical help for building those walls of protection in your marriage on Monday. Have a great weekend and hope you can worship with your family this weekend. We'll see you Monday for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.